This is the Progressive Radio Network. Information for the independent mind.
Everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progress Radio Network. And I have a great show planned for all of you today. My guests will be Penelope Jean Hayes and Carol Serene Borgens. They are responsible for this wonderful book called Due Onto Earth. And Carol Jean Borgens is a channeler and a medium, and she communicates with a spirit messenger named Pax, and she will tell us more about that in a little bit. And Penelope is an author and a specialist in osmotic energy and virulinology, and she will be telling us more about that as well, and I will introduce them more with a complete bio when they're ready to come on. But first, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the news, some ways you can take action, and of course, share my weekly recipe with all of you. This time of year, starting this coming weekend, for the past 25 years, would have been the time that I would be gathering volunteers in my home to create a Thanksgiving feast for the homeless. However, due to the pandemic, it's not safe to have 100 plus people in my home cooking together in close quarters, nor is it safe for us to serve food right out on the streets with people in a line unable to maintain a safe social distance. So the passing out and sharing of a holiday feast has been canceled for this year. However, I'm still collecting the turkeys, which is not the normal food that I really love to collect, but nevertheless, I know there's so many people that really want to be able to have a traditional Thanksgiving meal and don't have the means to purchase their own turkey. So we are reaching out into our network of donors and still collecting turkeys that we will be sharing with the River Fund Food Pantry, which is the organization that I've partnered with for the past 25 years. And we're still doing our Coke collection, and yet the River Fund, due to the pandemic, they also are still not able to pass out the coats, but they have connected me with another organization that is able to take the coats. So we're still collecting coats and hats and winter items because, unfortunately, the people that were in need last year, many of them are even more in need this year, in addition to many others that weren't on the line last year who are on the line this year. It's just amazing the amount of people that are in need and how we have not really been able to come back with another supportive package to help those that have lost their jobs, that are getting evicted out of their apartments, that really just don't have enough food to feed their families. Food insecurity has gone up, has at least doubled, if not tripled, during this pandemic. And there are so many people, especially single mothers and children and seniors, who just do not have enough money to put food on the table. So if you are in the New York area and want to donate a turkey, or actually you can actually go online to the riverfundnewyork.org and donate directly to their turkey drive. That would be really wonderful. Otherwise, I'm sure everywhere in every city across the country, there are organizations that are helping to take care of those people in our community who are being left out. And so I beg all of you who do have the time and the means to reach out to those organizations. You know, there's City Harvest here on Long Island, there's Island Harvest, there's, you know, local food banks, that all need your help. So please, you know, reach into your pockets if you have the means and help give to those that don't have. Also, right now, I am celebrating our new our new administration, even though we have yet to have a concession speech from the current president. I am looking forward to getting Biden and Harris into the White House. And yet Biden is, you know, is not the perfect candidate. He certainly was better than the one we have, but we still need to mobilize with all of our grassroots allies to try to influence Biden in his picks for appointees that he's putting on his team to help move the needle in a more progressive direction. One of the things that I wrote about this past week was demanding that the Environmental Protection Agency, which has almost been dismantled by the Trump administration, we need them to ban chlorpyrifos. It's a very toxic chemical, not just to the bees, but also to humans. It actually has been proven to affect children's brains and, you know, in their development. And it's just bad for the farm workers. And it, of course, also kills our bees. And we need our bees for our food. So please sign that petition. We're also trying to push the Biden administration to pick a secretary of agriculture that supports organic and regenerative agriculture. Right now, the person that he is looking at is Heidi Heitkamp, and she has a history of being an anti-environmentalist. Her votes have been more in line with conservatives, and she is not the person that we need working to make our food system more equitable for everybody. I remember when Obama was first elected, and one of the first appointees he did was Tom Vilsack as the Secretary of Agriculture, and all the petitions were going into the Obama administration trying to get him to not do that, because Tom Vilsack was voted governor of the year by the biotech industries. And he was a big supporter of CAFOs and genetic engineering and was not good for the administration. However, next to the Trump administration, Tom Vilsack looks like an angel. But anyway, we can do better, and we need the Biden-Harris administration to do better. And so we are really pushing for this administration to pick somebody that is in alignment with a progressive movement and one that we really can feel good about. I know right now, you know, Food and Water Watch is looking to support Congresswoman Fudge for the Secretary of Agriculture. And she has a much more progressive history and one that we can feel good about. And there are others, but Heidi Heitkamp is definitely not the person. So please sign that petition and let your voice be heard there. And I want to share with you my weekly recipe. Actually, before I do that, I wanted to also let you all know that NOFA New York's annual winter conference is going on virtual this year, as all conferences are. But NOFA New York's winter conference will take place from January 16th through the 23rd. And they have a full lineup of great workshops, over 60 workshops. I will be doing a cooking demo as well through a Zoom on the in the conference. And early birds specials are available now. And there's also a place for scholarships. So if you want to apply for a scholarship, I have a link on my website, or you can go to the NOFA New York website to find the link for the scholarship there. But applications are due by November 27th if you want to apply for a scholarship. So please do that if you'd like. And my recipe, as promised last week, every year, the week before Thanksgiving, I'd like to share my stuffed heirloom pumpkin recipe, because I don't do turkey. I don't eat turkey, but I know many people do, but for those that don't eat turkey, what can you bring out to the table that is much, that is as beautiful, or actually more, much more beautiful than a turkey, is a stuffed heirloom pumpkin. And when you bring this out of the oven, it's just gorgeous and everybody oohs and ahs, and it's really a beautiful centerpiece as well as a delicious main course for those that are not eating meat. And it's also, because of it's baked in this pumpkin, there's lots of delicious gravy to it as well. So it is really a wonderful, wonderful dish. So you want to take the pumpkin and you're going to start. Well, first, let me give you the ingredients. You're going to start with one large organic pumpkin. And you can buy a Long Island cheese pumpkin or an heirloom pumpkin. I know Whole Foods still carries different heirloom pumpkins. And then I use 1.5 pounds of seitan, but you can also use tofu or tempeh if you are gluten-free. Then you want 1 onion, 4 carrots that you're going to cut into wedges, 1 pound of mushrooms, and you can use a mixture of shiitake, portobello, oyster, whatever you like, 2 yellow squashes, 1 butternut squash, 1 sweet potato, 2 peppers, 1 head of broccoli cut up into florets, 4 parsnips, also cut into chunks, 1/2 small napa cabbage, 2 baby bok choy, 1/4 cup of tamari, 4 cloves of garlic, 2-inch piece of ginger that you're going to grate, 2 tablespoons of aji marin, which is a sweet rice wine, 2 tablespoons of tahini that you can mix with 1 cup of water, 1 package of frozen peas, 1 pound of potatoes cut into chunks, 2 sprigs of rosemary and 2 sprigs of thyme, and then also 1/4 cup of nutritional yeast. And so you're going to start by cutting out a circle on the top of the pumpkin, scrape out all the seeds and replace the top of the pumpkin. And you're going to place that in a shallow baking pan with a little water, cover it with aluminum foil, just kind of create a tent over the pumpkin so that the pumpkin doesn't burn. And place that into a 300 degree oven and cook it for 1.5 to 2 hours until it's soft. You can put a little bit of oil over the top of the pumpkin if you want it to just get a little bit shiny. That, you know, makes it look really nice. And if the stem of the pumpkin is sticking up too high, you can turn the top upside down to bake it. That will work as well. And while that's cooking, you're going to start by sauteing the onion, carrots, and butternut squash in a large either pot or a really large saute pan, along with the parsnips, potatoes, and the sweet potatoes. So basically all of the root vegetables are going to go in the pot with a little bit of olive oil. You can add the garlic and the ginger to that, and you're going to cook that for about 10 minutes on low, stirring constantly so it doesn't stick. You can add, if it starts to stick, you can add a little water to deglaze the pan as opposed to adding any more oil. Then you're going to add the broccoli, the mushrooms, the peppers, the yellow squash, the bok choy, the cabbage, and the herbs, and any other vegetables you want. I mean, the vegetables are really flexible. So you can add more root vegetables, you can add more mushrooms, and you're going to then add the tahini with the water, the mirin, the tamari, and really everything into that pot. And you're just going to let that cook down like a stew. And you're going to cook it until everything's really soft. Then you're going to add the seitan. Now, if you're going to use tofu or tempeh, you're going to want to cook the tofu and tempeh first before you add it to the pan. So you can just saute that either in a little bit of oil or in the oven, however you like to do your tofu or tempeh. But you want to cook that first before you add it to the pumpkin so that it doesn't break apart. And then let those vegetables all come together. You can put a cover on the pot and let that cook down for about 20 or 30 minutes. When the pumpkin is soft, you're going to pull it out of the oven. You're going to fill it with all of that vegetables, and you're going to return it back into the oven for another 30 minutes to allow all those flavors to come together. And very often, because the ovens are of such high demand on your special Thanksgiving day, you can actually cook the pumpkin the day before so that it's ready and just have that in the, you know, in the refrigerator, pull it out to come to room temperature before you put it, before you stuff it with the hot vegetables, and then put it into the oven. And that will save you a little bit of time, oven time, that is. So it's really flexible. Even this, even the filling, you can do the day before easily, and then just put it all together when you're ready to serve it. But I recommend heating the filling up in a pot before putting it into the pumpkin to really help heat it up. Otherwise, if you put everything cold into the pumpkin and put that in the oven, it would really take just as long. And so that would not help you at all. And that is the recipe of the week. Please feel free to share it and enjoy it. One thing I actually have also started adding nutritional yeast into that stew. So it's not on the recipe card. I think I will add it when I post it on the PRN website and on my website. I'll go back in and add nutritional yeast. But try adding a cup of nutritional yeast to the stew. I've been doing that lately, and it just adds another depth of flavor, and it's really delicious. So I hope you all enjoy it. And it is now my pleasure to introduce to all of you my two guests, Carol Serene Borgens and Penelope Jean Hayes. And Carol has the gift as a channeler and medium, and she communicates directly with the spirit messenger Pax, channeling Pax's wisdom for books and the world, while also growing her own inner peace and balance in a world of uncertainty. Through automatic writing, Carol Serene and Pax have brought wisdom and guidance to people around the world since the early 1990s. Their current writings, from the books The Likely Future, Short and Long-Term Guidance from the Source, A COVID-19 Exposé, as well as Due On to Earth, It's Not Too Late, is guidance for repairing our damage to the planet Earth, and much more. Carol's diverse background includes nursing, breeding and showing purebred dogs, racing British sports cars, restoration of old wooden boats, and so much more. As Carol says, the gift of Pax is the greatest blessing in her life. And Penelope Jean Hayes is the foremost leader in the field of contagious and osmotic energy, known as viral enology. And she has appeared on television hundreds of times as an expert guest, including for Dr. Phil, ABC News, and internationally. In 2020, she founded Viral Energy Institute for personal and interpersonal and planetary wellness. Penelope is the author of the books The Magic of Viral Energy, An Ancient Key to Happiness, Empowerment, and Purpose, and The Likely Future, which has two volumes of spiritual advice on the coronavirus pandemic. And then this book, Due Onto Earth, It's Not Too Late, is the one that I've invited them both on to talk about. So it is my pleasure to introduce to you both of them. Carol and Penelope, are you with me?
I am.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning. I'm so happy to have you here, and thank you so much for the book. It's really such a beautiful book. But I thought I could start by asking you, Carol, if you could share with my listeners, who is Pax? Because I'm sure for many, the idea of a spirit messenger is one that is new to them. So can you share with them a little bit of history with Pax and your work with channeling him?
Yes, certainly, and thank you. Pax first came through to me in the form of automatic writing in the early 1990s. And I had been doing work with other metaphysical means, but had wanted to do a little more with the automatic writing. Pax came through and introduced himself and asked me at that time if I would agree to channel him for the purpose of putting his writings, his wisdom, his teachings, into book form and bringing that out to the world, because he wanted to teach us all about the value of preserving our healthy environment, about the importance of love in our lives, about self-empowerment, and that everyone has the ability to connect with their higher selves. Their ability is there. Most people just don't recognize it. Pax, I considered as my spirit guide. Well, that he is, but that is certainly expanded. Pax is the divine wisdom source, the universal wisdom. Some might call it the collective consciousness. He says that his wisdom is there for the enlightened. Anyone can access it. And that's a lesson for all of us to remember, that each person has the ability to tap into their own higher selves and the wisdom that they'll find there for helping them through with their daily lives, as well as, you know, the greater good and greater planning for their world, which everyone is capable of contributing to the preservation of, certainly in these times right now, when our planet is calling us, are we listening?
Right, right. And so, Penelope, how did you connect with Carol? How did that connection come about?
Yes, Carol and I had been acquainted as I had gone to her and Pax for a couple of sessions. This is spirit channeling sessions. And I was working on my second book at the time, just getting into the outline of that. And that was titled Do Unto Earth, which is also the name of my business. And so Carol and I had already been acquainted, had a relationship. And then one day she contacted me to say that Pax had asked her to reach out to me and that he had wanted to lend wisdom to the Viral Energy Institute and these things that I was working on, which, as you said in your introduction, personal, interpersonal, and planetary well-being. So, of course, I said, yes, this is, you know, wonderful. And it was initially to supply wisdom to the Institute, the Viral Energy Institute. So as we got into it, and the process is a question and answer. So I asked the questions. These questions are born from the things that I've been working on, environmentally based for the most part, but also human curiosities. When you have a source of wisdom like this in front of you, what would you ask? And so this was the conversation, and it very much Do Unto Earth very much reads like a conversation. In fact, it reads like a movie. It's very exciting. So within a short period of time of us starting this process, Carol and I both said, this sounds like a book, you know, maybe more than just what we originally set out to do, offering wisdom into other projects. But this sounds like a book, and indeed it was a book. And we asked Pax, is this meant to be the book that I was working on titled Do Unto Earth, adopt that title? And he said yes. And I also want to kind of address, too, when you ask who is Pax, when I started communicating with Pax through Carol, I asked that question also with Pax because my background is in journalism. I'm an inquisitive mind, and I wanted to know more. Carol has the blessing and the gift to have a knowingness in her personal relationship with Pax to know who that energy is. And for me, I want to know, you know, who we're talking to, what is this energy source, what is this source of wisdom? So I asked, can you be a little more specific and tell me who are you exactly? And I just want to share with you, Bhavani, and your audience, the answer that came back, which is actually beautiful and kind of gives you chills. He said, and this is a quote, we are one with the universe, not the universe alone. We are the divine universe, yes, and the God being and the greater wisdom. That which knows and supports all and is healing, non-judgmental, and tolerant, all-seeing, all-knowing, and peace.
Beautiful. You know, I think for those that are not as trusting, that still might be something that they, you know, question. But, you know, I know for a lot of people, just the idea of channeling is just so esoteric that they're just not comfortable with it. I personally, you know, have gone to a channeler to, you know, connect with my parents who have passed on, and found it very, very enlightening and satisfying. And so for me, you know, I believe in that kind of thing. What would you say to someone who doesn't? How would you, do you try to convince them, or do you have any insight to help them believe?
Yeah. We actually asked Pax this question in the book, and his answer was that we are not here to change people's minds who are set against channeling and spiritual things. I would say that for me, the answer that comes to mind when you ask that question is, you know, you don't have to believe, and you should question everything. And Pax reminds us throughout Due Unto Earth that it is about our self-empowerment. It's about trusting in ourselves to not defer and deflect to a religion or an outside source, but to always go to our inner wisdom, our inner and higher self for our answers. And that's where we will find truth. And so it is important that you do question these things and find out for yourself. And what's good for one person may not work for the next person, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that answer very much. So when you did connect with him, how critical does he talk about our environment and, you know, the crisis that we're actually in right now?
So Pax has said that planet Earth, that humankind on planet Earth has 8 to 12 years left before a fail-safe point is reached for the wellness of our planet. And that fail-safe point is not the end of the world, but it is that if that period of time goes by where we have not changed our trajectory, that within that time frame of 8 to 12 years, we would have reached a point of no return. And he makes it very clear. And this is why he's reached out and kind of brought me in the mix of what Pax and Carol had been working on channeling for years. They had a relationship and a communication. And now we're at a point that there's a heightened importance of this subject with the environment. And we know that this topic is coming up more and more, but we really are at this precipice and we are asked to be the change. You know, this is Due Unto Earth, this book, it's a call to action. And it's actually told in a very interesting way. Carol and I like to say that it's jaw droppers. I mean, it was new to us. We're, you know, the information didn't come from us. So when we were receiving the answers from Pax, both of us were just in awe at what we were reading. It's fascinating. And it's not just problems. It is the solutions.
And were you asking the questions, or Pax is more just kind of telling you how
Pax,
it is?
Yeah, Pax does not answer unless you've asked the question, which we learned along the way. I certainly learned, and I would say to Carol, it's really interesting because I've started to notice that unless I ask a question, a very specific, direct question, and stated in the correct way, that the more specific my question was, the more specific the answer would be. And he did not give me any answers that I did not ask the question for, except for one. And that was when we were speaking of Australia, the continent of Australia. And I was asking about the wildfires, because at that time they were in their seasonal, you know, their summer every year around January or so, they have the wildfires, but they were worse than ever last year, as we all know quite well. And I was very concerned about Australia. I've been there. I have family there. And so we were talking about that. That was the conversation. And he offered something that I didn't ask. And he said, you know, and this is paraphrasing, that we want your people to wake up to the realization of the coal in Australia, the continent. And when the fires meet the coal, it will spell disaster for that continent. And it was, you know, it was something that sort of floored me because I hadn't thought of the coal. And so I looked it up. And wouldn't you know, Australia is the largest exporter of coal in the world.
Really? I wouldn't have known that either.
Yeah. Yes.
We get our lessons regularly.
Yes, we do.
And so what was he saying about the fires meeting the coal? How was that going to work?
Well, the coal in the ground. And as the fires burn, they burn down to the level of the soil, which in Australia is hot and dry, and it permeates the ground, potentially going deeper and deeper. And should it meet at the level where the coal is, then the coal would begin to burn, and that would be the core of the continent on fire. Which is a situation that is probably very perilous. I just don't know how that could ever be extinguished.
Well, and he said as much, and he, you know, we did talk about how they're excavating the coal. So basically, if mankind wasn't causing the problem, bringing the coal out of the ground, so they stage the coal at ground level, and then they ship it out all over the world. So they've brought that coal up. So just imagine, you know, visually what that would look like when the wildfires, as they're getting worse and worse and raging out of control, and there really is no way to control these fires of this size, that they would meet that coal that is staged for export as an example of something that you could imagine. And then, as Carol said, it goes down into its source in the ground, and then we're talking about a candle that will never be extinguished.
Right. But what about the wildfires here in our country? You know, between California, Washington State, Colorado, I mean, we've been experiencing the worst wildfires in our history as well.
Yes, we talked about it in the
book. Any insight into our fires?
Yes, of course. Again, that man is, it's anthropogenic climate change. So it's man-made climate change that is making these things worse and worse. And Pax has, you know, split no hairs about that we have caused this problem, and that we are putting things out of balance, and that we have the power to change it if we act now. And it is all hands on deck. I love your introduction, what you were saying, and the importance of us, you know, putting people in positions of power that have a mind for the environment, that realize the seriousness of this issue, that it really is a problem. And so in terms of fires in the west coast of the United States, you know, these are things that we need to realize that they're not going away unless we change our ways, and that is every one of us. And if we're still, you know, we're all still using gasoline, we're all still using these things. So to always go back to understanding that the consumer drives the market and that we have the power also. So it's not just putting power in the hands of our politicians. We do our best to elect the right ones. But in addition to that, we have so much more power than we are giving ourselves credit for with just our consumer dollar, and that every time we buy something, that is a vote.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so frustrating because, you know, Biden and Harris have talked about making climate change, you know, one of the focuses of their administration. And yet the team that they're already putting together are people that are ingrained in many of the problems. And so, you know, I really look to my grassroots organizations who really know the topic so well to guide me in who to support, because, you know, I can't know everything, obviously, none of us can. And so you have to really know which organizations to trust to make that decision. And so the person he's looking at right now for the Department of Agriculture is someone that is so not good for the position. I mean, every grassroots organization has been coming out against this Heidi Heitkamp. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's,
anyway,
you know, again, just the problem with politics is that sometimes people will say anything to get in, and it's placating the voters. And unfortunately, then there's other powers at play once you get elected, and now you have to have this balancing act of keeping other interests happy. So it is a challenge, and that's where we like to say, you know, go back to our personal empowerment as individuals and as a society and as a country, that we have to realize that we do have that power and to take back that power. And in terms of sources to tap into, the First Nations people, Pax continuously reminds us that we need to be looking to the wisdom of the First Nations people, and that they should be part of all of these decisions. When you talk about deforestation and wildfires and pipelines, that they should be on every council table and in every discussion as it pertains to our environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much more connected to the earth and to how to take care of it. You know, they really have that wisdom. Let's take a couple minute break, and when we come back, I really want to hear what some of the suggestions that Pax shares with you for people to take on their own personal empowerment to actually help deal with this climate crisis. So Everyone, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Penelope Jean Hayes and Carol Serene Borgens about their book, Due Unto Earth. Be right back.
You're tuned to PRN. We'll keep bringing you the best in alternative voices for social and political news, the environment, health, the economy, and a whole lot more. All you have to do is keep listening. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
PRN.FM, the consciousness of the progressive enlightenment and the enlightenment of the progressive consciousness. It's mathematically associative. It's spiritually transformative. It's the Progressive Radio Network.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Have you ever listened to Anthony Robbins, watched the movie called The Secret, or read about the power of positive thinking from the perspective of any of the many fine authors who have written about the subject? They all focus on the law of attraction, which governs every second of every life of every person in the universe. Like attracts like, and everything you do, feel, and think about as a regular way of being determines your life experiences. PRN's new show, LOA Today, explores all aspects of this magnificent law of the universe every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Join hosts Walt Thiessen and Ioana June Thiessen as we explore the law of attraction each week. That's LOA Today, Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. here on PRN.
PRN. Progressive. Radio Network.
Everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And if you're just joining me, my guests today are author Penelope Jean Hayes and Carol Serene Borgens about their book, Due Unto Earth. It's not too late. And right before the break, I was asking them what PACS, the spirit guide that Carol channels, what his suggestions are in really addressing climate change. And since I am a foodie, I'd like to start by asking, what does he recommend in regards to our own personal self-empowerment when it comes to food and our food choices? So maybe Carol, you can start, and then Penelope, you can add into that.
You know, Pat hasn't really discussed that with us at any great level. However, what I would like to share is that I think that preservation of our, well, let's say sustainability, that's where PAX would go on this, that the food choices should be sustainably grown and harvested with respect for Mother Earth. PAX teaches us that if we approach all things in nature, from the water in the air to the rocks and the soil, with respect, that this is how we protect these resources for ourselves, so that in growing our foods and harvesting in a natural manner, we will always have that, for our benefit. And I think Penelope will have more to add on this.
Yeah, well, yes, he does talk about eating meat, right, and raising animals. What does he say about that?
Yeah, so I'm a vegan. So full disclosure, I'm a vegan. So this is an area of great interest to me because, you know, you think, well, you hear a lot of people say that, maybe even the Bible says that we're supposed to eat animals, or animals are for our, what is it, to have dominion over animals. So, you know, I ask a lot of questions about this, and eventually the answer is that we're actually meant to eat plants. We're meant to be plant-based. That would be the better way to do it, better for the environment, also better for animals, and better for our health. So Pax has said that all animals have souls, and in fact, he said if it breathes, you shouldn't test on it when we're talking about animal testing. And so, you know, I asked him, well, you know, we have a long history of eating animals. And so he has said that there's no judgment on this, that he said, we are not here to, you know, change people's diets or to say that, you know, a vegan lifestyle is better, that this is each person's choice. But as I really kind of dug into the question, the answer was clear when I said, well, would this be better for our health? Would this be better for the planet? He said, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because he also talks about how we raise the animals and the impact that that has on greenhouse gases and the environment, correct?
Yes, he does. So what we have done in recent years since the Industrial Revolution is we've changed the way that we procure food and we, you know, raise animals for food. Used to be done differently. And if you look at the way the First Nations people do it, they thank the animal. They only take what they need. They have great gratitude and respect for the animal. They understand the animal has a soul. So when anything is in balance, it, you know, works with the natural world. And so if you choose to eat meat, that would be the way to do it. He does speak about greenhouse gas emissions. So we are slaughtering 23 million animals a day on planet Earth for food. Imagine this number, 23 million animals a day for food. So all of them are being raised up. A great number of these are cattle. And a lot of our food that should be grown to feed the planet and Mother Earth provides all the food that we would need. And now what we're doing is we're using that land. Bhavani, you know this. In the work that you do, we're using that land to grow the wheat and the other crops to feed the cattle, the cows, and that to go for the cows to go into our meat industry. So this is all out of whack. The greenhouse gas emissions from that is a tremendous amount, and it doesn't take. I think Pax likes to use the word rocket scientist, which is a funny. Older saying, it just made me laugh because my mother used to say that. But Pax says, you know, it's not rocket science, you know, and if we do think about it, it's not rocket science. What we're doing is extremely out of balance. This doesn't make sense. It's not good for the animals. It's not good for us. It's not good for the planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what else does he say about our environment, you know, in regards to pollution and climate change? What, any suggestions of what maybe from both sides, both from a self-empowerment personal choice side and also as a society, what the spirit world is suggesting we do?
I think if Carol would like to speak to personal empowerment, and then I'd like to run through a list of suggestions that Pax has as replacements. So, for instance, a replacement to plastic. But perhaps we start with personal power, Carol?
Sure. Pax's message is one of personal empowerment is to be claimed by everyone. It's a very broad and wide-spreading attribute. When people feel empowered, when they believe they are empowered, as Pax wants people to understand, they can make a difference in their lives, in their family, in their village, and right through to the globe. They can make global changes if they believe in themselves and the message that they are sharing. And, you know, it's the ripple effect. It spreads and it begins movements, whether towards climate change or any number of things that are going to prove to be the betterment for planet Earth. It is a lesson. It's consistent. It runs through the books. And it's always there underlying. You can do it. You can start on your own and grow your message. Believe that you have the power. He teaches people that it's within you. Don't look outward. Don't put your trust and your potential actions into the hands of another. Look within yourself, but feel what's within you. And as I mentioned earlier, it is the higher wisdom in each person, the soul wisdom that each person has. And people know it. They feel it from time to time and often dismiss it. But it's that higher wisdom and knowledge that a person has, a knowingness of what is going to be right or wrong for their trajectory at the moment personally, as well as for the environment, for the world as a whole. And as Pax has told us quite often, his wisdom is there for the taking. Anyone can access it. So tuning into how you feel, what you think is the place within you where your wisdom resides, and listen to it and take your cues from what you feel is the right thing for yourself and the greater good.
Mm-hmm. So that would, in order to really listen, that would be, that would really encourage people to take on some sort of meditation and quiet yourself in order to really
quiet yourself.
Listen.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. However it looks for each individual person, however it looks, if you meditate, if you walk in the forest, do forest bathing, you know, if you go out to the ocean, the thoughts that normally get pushed aside in daily living, and that, you know, people have to concentrate on their daily life, getting through it with career and children and all that entails. So to offer oneself the joy of alone time, quiet time, to connect with the inner wisdom, that's where it begins. And if each person would consider that a gift to themselves, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think so. Penelope, you wanted to share some suggestions that Pax had for the climate?
Sure. And I'll first say that meditation time is consciousness raising. So it's not just something that happens within our own self. It raises the consciousness of a population. So as each person lightens up and raises their consciousness, it is something that spreads across the globe. And when you have higher consciousness, you can no longer hurt the environment, hurt others, hurt animals. So this is a very important practice and not just something that only affects our own beingness. But in terms of what Pax has said for very tangible things that we can do to turn around our crisis on this planet, first we'll talk about plastic. So Pax has offered a plastic replacement. We know that plastic is made of crude oil. Some people actually don't even realize where plastic comes from, but it is crude oil. And the carpet in your house is crude oil. It's also plastic. Clothes made out of polyester are plastic. Just about every home built today has PVC piping, like veins of poison throughout your house. PVC emits the most toxins of all of the plastics. So these are forever chemicals. They're different than what first came out of the ground. Plastics are these chemicals made into these forever chemicals that don't break down and don't go away. So the solution to that, everything that we're currently making out of plastic, we can make out of hemp cellulose. And that you can add different plant fibers for different consistencies, anything from a plastic wrap for your food to a new type of pipe, a new type of chair to sit on, a new type of car part. These can all be made from hemp cellulose. So we found that to be a $1 billion idea. This is very empowering and exciting to read the pages of Do Unto Earth and to realize that there are new industries that can be formed here. So we're not asking anyone to close down, but how about retool and make a difference in the world? Also, microwaves. When Pax told me that microwaves emit toxins, that they put off radioactive toxins into the atmosphere, that what do? You open the door right into your face, and what is it's off-gassing of radioactive toxins. When he told me that, I literally unplugged the microwave, took it out to the garage, and my husband and I haven't used a microwave in, what has it been, a year and a half. And we just, you know, within 2 days, you find you just don't need one, and we feel really good about that. So that was a good plus. But that plastic should never be in contact with food. So I said to Pax, like, is this, you know, so crucial that if you were me, you would remove all plastic in contact with food immediately? And he said yes. So we stopped using plastic wrap. We replaced all our Tupperware with things like mason jars. And it's actually kind of fun to pivot that way and to see what else you can do. So Two Under Earth is just full of stuff like that. Pax also gives us the no fuel fuel of the future. So this is a fuel that doesn't require a reservoir to hold it. So if you imagine space travel, intergalactic travel, it's a no fuel solution. It doesn't have volume. It doesn't require space to transport. It's generated. And he gives us the breadcrumbs for that in this book, Two Under Earth. It's absolutely fascinating. And these are things that will actually change the trajectory. So you look at, wow, planet Earth has 8 to 12 years before we reach the point of no return. But here is a gift. Here are not just problems. Here are the solutions. You know, take this, read this, see what you can make out of it, and let's turn this ship around because it's so critical. There's so many more like that too, Bhavani.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why a few weeks ago I had shared Prince William, I think, had come out with awards, like $50 million a piece awards for innovation, people to come up with ideas of ways to help heal the climate change through different types of innovative inventions. And, yeah, you know, I thought that was really a nice thing to promote, because so often, you know, we're talking about climate change and, you know, what we can do to stop making it worse. But as far as actually innovative ideas to try to reverse things is something that,
right,
I think rewarding people for will help people come up with really good ideas.
Yeah, to get excited about it. You know, we hear a lot about the environment. There's a lot of books out there that are just regurgitating what the problems are. And they're kind of, you know, hard to read. You wouldn't say that they're, you know, a pleasure to read. You need to be informed. We have to say, and we can say this and be braggadocious about it, Due Unto Earth reads like a movie. It is exciting from the first page. It is inspiring because it gives so many solutions. And it's just really been an incredible journey for Carol and I to be a part of this, because we really feel like this is going to be, you know, changing the direction of mankind in the future. It's just full of ideas that you just couldn't come up with anywhere else.
Right. Does he have any recommendations for any holistic health remedies?
Oh, so many. So my father has asthma, so that was one of the things I wanted to ask, because he struggled with asthma. He actually died once and they brought him back. So it's a very severe type of asthma that traditional pharmaceuticals are just not able to address for him these many decades. And so I asked, Pax actually said that there's a plant for everything. No matter what your ailment is, no matter what the health problem is, there is a plant for that. And for us to talk to our First Nations people and to begin learning what ancient wisdom already knows. So I said, really, there's a plant for everything? And I went through a number of diseases, and one of them was asthma. So the answer from Pax regarding asthma is the leaf of the bamboo tree. We actually have some on our property. I live in Southern Florida. We have bamboo. And so you take the leaves, and I said to Pax, well, what do you do with them? You know, do you make them into a tea and sip it? You know, what do you do? And he said that you imbue it with smoke, but don't burn it, because that will damage and ruin the healing properties. You basically, you know, think of a sauna where you take a hot rock, and then you would place it over the leaf of the bamboo plant. and it creates then this steam, and you would inhale that steam, and that is a natural remedy, a cure, if you will, for asthma.
Well,
you also referred to eucalyptus.
Yes, also eucalyptus for asthma.
And he at one point referred to plants that grow in high altitudes, but he didn't name any of them.
Nettle, he said eucalyptus and nettle.
Nettle, yes.
Nettle that grow in high altitudes. So that was one thing. There's just a lot like that. We actually have a whole chapter on therapeutics, plant-based alternative type medicines. Another one that was interesting to me was the inside of the plantain peel. So plantain, not banana, but plantain, and you scrape the inside, that sort of white, soft material on the inside of the plantain peel, and you can put that, that's good for pain and swelling reduction. So for inflammation and for pain. So you can eat it like a spoonful instead of taking, you know, a Tylenol and Advil, you can take a spoonful of plantain. Let's say you also had swollen knees, maybe stiffness in your knees or sore. You can take that, kind of smash it into a paste and just put it right there on your knees. You don't have to make it into any pharmaceutical. Just put it right there, maybe wrap it lightly with a bandage and let it sit there. And it's good for pain and inflammation.
Wow. I did that when I had a cut.
What does he say about organic? Like, you know, if you get a plantain, that, you know, that's imported, since most of the plantains in our markets here have been imported from somewhere, you know, chances are it's not organic. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it would be a difference in potency, and we have a conversation on organic. But actually, Carol was just mentioning she did try it, and I remember we were on the phone when she tried it. She was it a knee? You had sore knees, Carol? And I said, what about trying?
No, I think I had a cut or a burn or something.
Yeah, and you tried it, and I believe you said it worked.
Yeah, did. Much to my surprise,
so with your question, Bhavani, organic, I think it would be another one of those things where PACS would say it's a no-brainer. You know, the more chemicals we put into food, you know, we're ingesting the chemicals, so this is counterproductive. And you think about what goes into, you know, when you're eating meat, full of steroids, full of antibiotics, a lot of our food grown in pesticides. So, you know, ingesting that is just putting this into our body, and PAC speaks of the origins of, you know, cancer, that there isn't. I asked, well, hey, is there a plant to fix cancer then, if there's a plant for everything? And it's sort of like, no, but the root of what's causing that is these things that you're doing, that mankind is doing to your food. It's absolutely asinine what we're doing to our food.
I know. I know, it's so sad. But, you know, hopefully shows like this and books like yours, you know, help to educate people and open them up to making better choices. So we're almost out of time. Can you share with my listeners where they can purchase your book? Is it available on Amazon and bookstores?
Yes, all of our books are. You can go to our website, PAXWisdom.com, and that's P-A-X. The word means peace. Go to PAXWisdom.com, and everything is linked there. All of our books are sold on Amazon. We have the versions of audiobook and the Kindle versions and the paperback. So it's all linked through the website, PAXWisdom.com, as well as Carol and my own individual website. So anything you want is right there in that one place, including our social media.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining me. It's been really enlightening. It's really just wonderful. And, you know, everyone who's been joining us and listening, take that time to quiet yourself, whether it's meditating while sitting or walking, or just take that time and let, you know, the inner wisdom come through. So Carol and Penelope, thank you so much for
I'd like to share something. I'd like to share something with you. As I was listening during your break, the name of your network is PRN. I wonder if you know what that means in medical terminology. Do you?
No, I don't. I just know it stands for Progressive Radio Network. But what does it mean
does
in medical
indeed.
Terminology?
And what you do is so valuable that I have to share with you, I am a former nurse, and PRN as a treatment or a medication is prescribed by a physician. PRN means as necessary. In other words, not every hour or every 2 hours. It means as necessary, and I want to share that the work that you are doing is so necessary. It's always necessary. And thank you for having us.
Thank you. And everyone out there, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of the week. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I will not be with you next week because of Thanksgiving. So I will see you the following week. Have a great holiday. Bye for now. Diamond, no.